This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back to the Blitz. Hour number two starts now, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP3 with you. Hour number two, we have the Periscope up and running at Fox Sports Knox. That's on Facebook and Twitter. Second hour smiles. We also do have the Fan Run Radio app. You can download that today wherever apps are sold for you. 12 hours of local programming right in the palm of your hands, on the go, in your back pocket. And as always, up over at fanrunradio.com, click the link powered by our friends over at MyBookie. Bet anytime, bet anywhere, bet anything, bet MyBookie. Head over to mybookie.ag. And if you're in the car, FM 105.7 AM 1340, thank you for tuning in. Hour number one, we talked a lot about the Tennessee basketball game. Want to kind of jump on that one more time before we get out of here. What about the play from Santiago Vescovi, guys? Is he our most lethal scorer or our best offensive player right now?
He's just your best player.
Yeah, I mean,
you
right now, yeah, like
most
not even
this,
yeah,
your he best is. That. He's just your best player.
Yeah, right now,
100%.
I mean, he plays really. He's been playing great defense. He's had very active hands.
Barnes talked about in the offseason, said this guy's gotten better.
The reverse layup he hit. I don't know if y'all saw that, but it was a fast break, and he went in and jumped and reversed it, banked it in. I mean, that's a play he
but Charlie
wouldn't
is right,
be able to
though,
make
like,
last
we don't
year.
Have to say, like, I gave him a caveat, like, you know, best offensive player right now, but, like, he has been our best player. I mean, he has been for at least 2-3 weeks.
His defense has improved greatly, too. Like, last year his defense was a liability.
He was a liability out there, yeah.
And now, I mean, he's one of, if not the best perimeter defender on the team.
And even for all the knacks that we gave him about being a liability on defense and other things that go along with, you know, what he's trying to do out there, this is a guy that's took a big step. And Rick Barnes talked about that in the offseason as they got out of camp approaching this season. He said, watch out for Santiago Vescovi. You know, this is a guy who's taken a tremendous leap along with others like Olivier Cumwa. But he really talked about Vescovi being a guy to watch as far as the scoring. He's gotten even better behind the three-point line. We knew him as
second straight game with 5 made threes.
Yeah, we knew him as a streaky shooter, but, like, he's also been streaky and consistent. Like, when he gets hot, he's hot.
Yeah.
When he gets hot, it's a special thing to watch out there. Just the fluid motion of his game, you know, the European style, very loose kind of finesse style play. He is a very fun player to watch, and I am slowly, he's turned into – one of my favorite players on this team.
And Rick Barnes mentioned it, too, in his press conference last night about how other teams are starting to take notice. That's why they've gotten so physical with him. Mm-hmm. And he told him, he's like, hey, that's a compliment. If they're playing that physical on you, it means that they're scared of you. They're worried about you, and they're trying to get you out of your element. And, I mean, we've definitely seen that. Teams have been going at him hard this year and trying to get under his skin.
They absolutely have.
Why you got guys like Urosh and Kamada to be your – to be your muscle.
Oh, yeah. What did we think about Urosh's play last night?
What play?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, what happened?
I think again, it was just a technical. I think Rick didn't want anything to get out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, going into the game, I didn't think that this was a matchup that favored him in this game and him having a big role.
Yeah, only 9 minutes, just the early technical.
You know, with the early technical and just with the matchup not being on his side, you know.
He didn't see much time.
But that being said, Fulkerson needed to step up, and he did last night. I mean, he hasn't been himself in a few weeks now, and it felt like he finally got his game at least going in the right direction again. he was able to hit that
Look
nice
at you
and
giving
one.
John Fulkerson some props with only 9 points last night and 2 rebounds.
Well, he stepped up late in the game when
he
they
did.
Needed
him. No, he got some big buckets. He did.
He hit that and one, which was huge. I mean, he hit a couple other shots down
the 9 points from Fulkerson, 3 from Justin Powell, and only 22 minutes, only 3 points, 4 rebounds, though. 9 and 2 for Fulkerson, as I said, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists for Zakai Ziegler.
He also had 6 rebounds, didn't he?
Yeah, 6 rebounds as well. 11
shortest
points,
guy on the court.
Getting 6 boards.
Got the tied the tallest guy on the court for
Can't
Florida.
Can't coach effort. Cannot coach effort.
Finds a way.
Santiago Vescovi, 23 points, 4 rebounds, and also, or excuse me, 23 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds for Santiago Vescovi. Kenny Chandler, it's good to see him in double digits, 17 points, 5 assists, 1 board, and then it was 9-4-9 from Triple J and 6-3-4 from Olivia Kumwa.
Yeah, and Kenny Chandler had a couple, he had a bad second half offensively. He's not the 3-point shooter we thought he was going to be. He missed a couple layups that aren't like that we're not used to him missing. Like one was just a fast break; he just left it short, left it on the front of the rim. Second one was a little more difficult; he had to get it up over the center. But I put it out there last night, and this isn't a knock on Chandler because I still think he's a great player. If I had to pick, like if I could only have one, I'd rather have Zakai Ziegler out on the court. And it's because of the effort. And that's, like I said, it's not a knock on Chandler, and it's probably a really hot take to say, but Zakai Ziegler just does everything the right way. He's 100% effort all the time, whereas Chandler kind of looks a little lackadaisical sometimes.
I disagree there. Like, I don't really – you know, maybe, I guess, Kenny Chandler at times has, you know, a mental lapse or two more. But I don't think it's ever like an effort thing. I think Kennedy Chandler is giving.
Oh, I don't think it's effort either. I just think that's his style of play. Like, it's going to translate well to the NBA where they don't really play defense that tough. But in the college game where, you know, you can't ever take a possession off, it just seems like he's used to that AAU style of relaxed basketball where you can kind of just take it up the court, make a lazy pass to get the ball moving. Yeah, I mean, you saw him turn it over. What, 4 or 5 times last night because of a bad pass? And it's not a knock on Chandler. I still think he's the better point guard. I'm just saying if I had to pick, I'd rather have Zakai out there because of the effort he shows.
Oh, yeah, he's an effort guy. He's one guy that, like, that is truly the gift that keeps on giving. He has gave us so much. I don't know about you guys. I didn't expect that coming in. Not that I didn't
definitely not
expect it from the guy. We didn't know. I mean, we're so, like, you know, hell-bent on John Fulkerson having a great year, Kennedy Chandler, and all this other stuff, that here comes a guy, and we have needed him so badly. I'm so glad he is on our team.
Me
so
too.
Glad.
That's a hell of a find from Rick Barnes to get him that late.
Hell of a find. So, yeah, Tennessee does pull it out. I want to ask you guys, you know, it was a couple weeks ago that we were talking about, we want to see more from Brandon Huntley-Hatfield, see him get more minutes. Are you guys starting to worry that his minutes have declined and maybe he's not going to make that turn that we all thought?
I don't think I'm really worrying about it anymore because
yeah,
the team's
point,
gelling, right? I mean, it's his role right now.
I'm just saying I would like to see him get more minutes. We thought he was going to be some type of X factor, so I didn't know if you guys were – you know, perhaps worried that he's – looks like he's getting lost in the depth chart.
I think you were out the day I said it. Yeah, we wanted Brandon Huntley-Hatfield to be that guy to step up, be
but
that
X factor.
But it
looks like Urosh has.
But it looks like Urosh has, for the most part, taken that role and run with it. And I know he didn't really play a lot last night, but if you need double digits from him, I mean, Urosh can go out and get double digits any night now. He's already proven that. So even though you're not getting it from Brandon Huntley-Hatfield, it seems like you found somebody else to step up. And I don't want Brandon Huntley-Hatfield to transfer. It looks like it might be heading in that direction, but he hasn't proved it yet. He's had plenty of chances. He just hasn't been able to put it all together.
Think Kennedy Chandler might come back?
Nah.
He's falling.
I know he's falling, but if he's falling right now and he has another bad year next year. So I saw this with I went to high school with Alex Poitras, who played for Kentucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was a lottery pick his first year.
My buddy coached him.
He was a lottery pick his freshman year at Kentucky. He decided to come back, and yep. I think he ended up staying 3 years, maybe four.
Mm-hmm. Wound up in the G League. He also got hurt, too.
Yeah, he tore his ACL, I think, his junior year. But by the time it was all said and done, he wasn't even a starter his senior year, and he would have been a lottery pick his freshman year. After he was projected to be a top-five pick, fell to, like, bottom half of the lottery, still first-rounder, and then I think he ended up going undrafted.
He did.
So, I mean, if you're a projected first-rounder, I think you go no matter what.
I agree with you. But, yeah.
Although I do think he would benefit from an extra year in college.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think he's quite there yet, but it seems like – I mean, we thought he was going to be there. He's just not there. I would hope that he would come back for another year just for as a Tennessee fan, kind of what GP3 just said. But if the iron – you got to strike while the iron's hot. Yeah. You don't want to lose that status and be in a more tougher situation. So, yeah, I mean, Tennessee Vols, they escape with the win on the backs of Santiago Vescovi and Kennedy Chandler with big games last night and just take care of a reeling Florida team after it being very tight early. So we'll shift our focus. We'll talk more about that game tomorrow, but the big game versus Texas as Deacon Barnes returns to Austin, Texas to face new Longhorns coach Chris Beard and company. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That's the number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Well, let's go and take a quick timeout, GP. Come back on the other side. We got some breaking news from the Shield, and we'll jump into everything conference championships. Keep it locked here. Keep it locked here. For more of the Blitz. Move right along. Portion of the show today brought to you by our friends at MyBookie. You know, the fantasy football season is over, but you can keep the excitement alive with MyBookie's double deposit bonus. Having your initial deposit matched up to $1,000 is like playing every game with home field advantage. All you have to do is sign up using promo code Knoxville and get your funds credited to your account instantly so you can start placing your bets with MyBookie. With the NFL postseason coming to a close, there's definitely no shortage of games to choose from at MyBookie, and everyone knows that playoffs equal points. Well, of course. It's the best time of the year to hammer the overs. You might even take some of those unders, too. With every player out to make a name for themselves, you know player props are also a great way to find an edge. MyBookie is also home to exclusive contests that can be used to maximize your winnings and make 2022 your best year yet. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using promo code Knoxville. Place your bets and get ready for the intensity of playoff action. Bet anything, bet anytime, bet anywhere. Bet with MyBookie. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Support the people that support your friends here at Fan Run Radio. Cool, before we get into some football stuff, I just found this and I have to get into it. So, according to The Sun, which is an outlet in the UK.
Is that England one?
Yeah, UK. Mm-hmm. And this comes from a blog report, but no, pretty credited blog, The Shade Room. But it reports that the Alcor Life Extension Foundation is a cryonics lab, cryogenics, cryonics, you know, freezing people, lab located in Scottsdale, Arizona. And now, guys, they currently are keeping the heads and bodies of 200 people frozen in the hope that they will someday be brought back to life through the magic of advanced scientific technology. For about $200,000... That's how much it costs. For about $200,000, the company will freeze an entire dead body. You guys throwing out $200K to forget your body froze?
No.
No, I'm just gonna
that should
it.
Be illegal.
I'm just going to leave it to my family.
Why are we? Why is this legal?
Walt Disney did this, apparently. Apparently. He's frozen in some cryogenic lab, and he wants to be brought back to life, but he's going to be in for a rude awakening when he comes back because he was a racist.
No, I'm about to say,
butthole.
Everybody's not as racist as you were, Walt, or a rapist.
He was racist, misogynistic. He was
rapist,
anti-Semitic.
A lot of things bad.
Any type.
A lot of things bad about Walt Disney, and now is the most happiest place in the world. Like, there's a lot of things if you go down the Walt Disney rabbit hole. But for about $200,000, the company will freeze an entire dead body And for $80,000, guys, all you need is 80 for this, Charlie. For $80,000, Charlie, you can have a head frozen, courtesy of the cryonics process.
Is it like Futurama?
Nope.
Was it Ronald Reagan that they
in the jar? It was Nancy Reagan, wasn't it?
No, it was Ronald Reagan, I thought.
Ronald Reagan? Okay.
Maybe they had Nancy also.
I think they had Nancy, too. Yeah. Are you quoting Futurama over here?
Huh?
Were you quoting Futurama?
No, I was quoting Twitter.
The bodies are then stored in deep freeze temperatures for decades and sometimes even centuries as they are packed in ice, frozen, and then the blood in the body is replaced with a cryoprotectant solution to stop the ice crystallization process. So they preserve your blood. Alcor then preserved the bodies by gradually lowering their temperature and storing them in large vessels of liquid nitrogen at -196 Celsius. I don't know what that is converted to Fahrenheit, but -196 Celsius. Wow. And it says it's best to begin the freezing process within 60 seconds of when the human body dies.
60 seconds?
That's what it says.
You got to have somebody on standby? Like,
I just thought about
you got
that.
Some AAA coverage. Yeah. Like if you're,
I just thought about that. Like, you gotta be quick with these guys. You gotta be quick.
Wear a wristband. Like if you're starting to choke or
I'm
something.
I'm dying. Freeze me. Freeze me. That's wild, man. $200,000. Then think about it. There's been 200 people who have done this dumb bleepity bleep.
And what if it works though?
That shouldn't be allowed. We shouldn't be bringing people back.
Once they're dead, Charlie says.
Like
don't
this,
bring them back.
This is making me mad.
We're gonna have some frozen zombies in a couple years.
Everybody in the world is just doing bad things. You know?
Now what if you
we're making smart robots, we're trying to bring people back to life, we're trying to clone, we're trying to open up different dimensions with the Higgs,
you have
whatever collider.
You have to start the freezing process within 60 seconds of when the human heart stops beating.
Enough is enough.
How can they be that quick?
What if you aren't dead? Like, can you freeze yourself before you die? That way you can guarantee you'll come back to life later on, or will you
good
just
question.
Die of hypothermia?
That's a good question by you. That's a solid question.
I have questions. Like, I need answers. And 60 seconds, like, you pretty much have to go there, tell them to kill you, and then put you in this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have like do you get assigned a like just an on call or like
I don't know
on site?
60 seconds, guys, of when the heart stops beating. They have to be that fast. The Alcor Life Extension Foundation was founded
to be from like expected deaths.
It has to be. The Alcor Life Extension Foundation was founded back in 1972. After Linda and Fred Chamberlain met at a cryonics conference in early 1970. Speaking about their initial goals for the company, Linda stated, quote, our goals were to start an organization that could save people's lives and give them the opportunity to be restored to health and function. If we'd known how hard it was going to be, we might not have tried to do it. But once you get started, something about saving lives, you can't give up. You're not saving lives, though.
They're already dead.
They're dead.
No, but what if it works? Like, say you come back 50 years in the future, but you're, like, already 80
would
years old.
Would you want to come back?
But you're, like, 80 years old. They bring you back to life, and then you die, like, 2 months later.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the thing. Like,
do you freeze yourself again and hope that?
Well, it's like they can't just, I guess I'll play along with it. Say it actually works, like what you're saying. There's, like, you unfreeze somebody, they're still not going to live forever.
Yeah.
You didn't
you don't unage.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. They're not stopping the aging process or the death process. Like, it's still going to happen. They just, like, put a timeout on it. And, like, you can, Zach Morris, timeout.
Timeout. Let's just pause it.
Zach Morris. Yeah, like, it makes no sense. I'm with Charlie. It doesn't make me mad, but I'm just like,
no, I'm fired up.
It's the fact that people are probably, I mean, obviously, 200 people spent $200,000.
This sounds like a company that would be in like one of the Marvel movies as like a villainous company.
Honestly, credit to the company. That's a pretty good scam.
$200,000.
It's not like they can ask for a refund. They're dead.
I mean, they've made $4 million on this.
They are dead. You can just tell them, yeah, no, we'll freeze you real good. Just throw them in a freezer, you know, and just leave them.
I wonder what their ROI is on this business.
Gotta be high. Gotta be high. But yeah. Can we just get together, like UN, whatever other national, international, world organizations we need and say, hey, no more cloning, no more Higgs-Bond collider or whatever thing, no more trying to open up alternate
dimensions. You're not here for cloning and stem
cell
research.
No more nuclear research.
No, the cloning, that stuff's kind of cool.
No.
I think that's
no.
kind of cool. I do think the cloning's kind of cool.
Don't you remember when they cloned that goat? Like, that was...
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
And everyone that did it should be arrested and put in jail for life.
I'm not going to lie.
We're opening up Pandora's box. We need to close it before it's too late.
I agree with you in certain aspects, but I'm kind of here for the cloning.
And all these AI robots.
What about somebody who always wanted like a little brother and couldn't have one?
No. No, that is awful.
I'm kind of
here
for the cloning.
I'm not here for cryogenics.
Kind of here for the cloning.
Clones should not be allowed
to
be
actual. I'm
all
about some cloning.
Would you not want a clone of yourself?
No. If someone ever clones me, I'm killing it.
Okay, but wouldn't you rather have like four Vescovy clones on the court than just...
No!
Could you imagine just having five Bob Vescovys just running around for Tennessee?
No. It. Cloning is bad. It's not what God intended, Chance.
I mean, I agree with you there. Probably not what God intended, but I'm kind of here for the cloning. I'm just going
to
be honest.
If he didn't
you.
Intend it, he wouldn't give us the ability to research and figure it out.
Also very
Kill
true.
All the clones.
Also very
Kill
true.
Every clone.
I'd love to have a clone. You know what? I'd love to have a clone to be places where I wouldn't have to be.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
great. Are clones real people?
I don't care. He could be a robot. Laws, it looks like me and go to work.
Just do my job for me. Give me the money.
And I can sit at home and just make the money. I am here for the cloning.
Have we not ever seen a movie?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like Star Wars, Revenge of the or Attack of the Clones?
Bad things happen when
those
you
those were
do
machine
this.
Clones, though. Like they made a bunch of like droids. Like
oh this. Yeah, we're much probably further in the cloning process than that, Charlie. I would love to see a clone of Charlie.
I don't know if I can handle another Charlie.
It'd be kind of cool. I am here for the cloning, though.
Gross.
Cryogenics
no, no,
is
no,
weird
no,
to
no,
me.
No, no, no.
But cloning
no.
is like, I'm here for like the stem cell research stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I really do. The fact that you could just these stem cells and, you know, benefit and help people with, you know, help major health issues, things like that. But the whole cloning, I mean, but the whole cryogenics, not really here for yeah, like, I'm not paying $200,000 to freeze my body just to die again. What do I want to die twice for, Charlie? You talking about people out here really trying to die twice? Like $200,000 to die twice? Like what GP3 is saying, you might pay it and maybe it works. Maybe they freeze you and you come back all alive. Nope. Not healthy, but alive.
Now, have you ever played the video game Fallout?
Yeah.
Now, in Fallout 4, a lot of people got cryogenically frozen to go like past the Great War that was about to happen. Like, oh, this is going to be a nuclear war. Everybody's going to die. We're going to freeze some people. Would you do that? Like, if they were to freeze you to like bring you back 100 years in the future or something?
Ooh.
Like,
nah.
Like, even if it was a chance, you don't know it works. But like, yeah. You're either going to die to the nuclear war. Or you're going to die to being cryogenically frozen,
okay.
But there's a chance that you might
in
come back 100
sense,
years.
In that sense, if a nuclear bomb has come, a nuclear war, nuclear warfare, I'll probably be cool with being frozen. But my thing is, when you talk about coming back in 100 years in the future, my family's not going to be there. My loved
there's
ones.
There's nothing for you.
What if they get frozen
live your
with
life
you?
And then die. Because
in the game, they took your whole family. Now, I know in the game, like they end up, like your family gets killed and stuff. But
also,
like,
what happens with these people if they get frozen? And then, you know, 100 years from now, they figure out how to unfreeze them. But they just, like, whoever runs society at that point is just like, hey, let's unfreeze all these people, and then we just have free labor or free army or, like, whatever else. And then you just, like, have all these people that were once uber rich are now just, like, maids and
wouldn't you like that?
Soldiers.
The people that are rich are now soldiers and maids? Yeah. Believe them. I'm with it.
They weren't able to keep up with inflation, I guess, while they were frozen.
They couldn't keep up to the times. 865-546-8200. Let's go ahead and take a quick timeout. That's the number if you want to jump in on the cryogenics discussion. On the other side, we will hit the breaking news. I'm sorry. I took you guys off on a tangent there. I had to talk about it. I couldn't believe that people were paying $200,000 to freeze their bodies and then $80,000 to freeze their heads.
Yeah, like, how do you even come back from that? Like, it's just your head.
It's just your head. We'll take a quick timeout. Other side, we got breaking news from the NFL. We'll talk a little bit about the playoffs and more. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz. I'm waking up at the start of the end of the world, but it's feeling just like every other. Roxanne, never gonna love me, but it's alright. She think I'm a player. She keep running back though, only cause I pay her. Roxanne, Roxanne. All she wanna do is party all night. Met her at a party in the hills, yeah. She just wanna do it for the thrill, yeah. Shorty drive a poodle with no top. But if I throw this money, she gon' drop. Ay. She don't wait in lines if it's too long. She don't drive the whip unless the roof falls. Welcome back to the Blitz. Couple more segments from us here in the White Claw Hard Seltzers, and we'll kick it over to John Reed and the boys for Talk Sports. Speaking of things to get to, though, Jared on Twitter says, imagine these poor families having to go through their loved ones dying twice. That's what I'm saying. Jared, thank you. Thank you, Jared. Jared always coming in with the commentary on Twitter for us.
If the family doesn't freeze themselves, maybe they won't be around them.
I guess not. But that's the thing I just said. I was like, who the hell wants to die twice? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, all right, like what you're saying. When do I freeze myself? First of all, you're not freezing yourself to what's male expectancy like now is what, 74 for us fellas? Something like that, 75. Right, so, like, we're not freezing ourselves to 75 like what you said. I'm going to come back for, like, 10 years and die again? Like, I just
don't understand how they're bringing people back to life. Like, I understand cryogenics.
We don't even know if it's ever happened.
From, like, okay, you're alive, let's freeze you. You'll be alive when we unfreeze you. Like, that makes sense to me, at least to a degree. I don't understand freezing somebody who's dead and then bringing them back. It's like, you ever see Scary Movie 3 where they're talking? It's like, how can you wake up dead? Like, you can't go to sleep dead and wake up alive. Like, I don't get it.
The only thing that I've found right here that says... it says animals that have survived after being frozen is a water bear. Do you know what the hell a water bear is? Because I don't either.
A water bear?
Yeah, I don't either. I'm about to look this up. What the hell is a water bear?
Excuse me?
A water bear.
We have bears that are in the water.
It is. Water bears are known colloquially as moss piglets. Oh, so it's like a fungus.
Oh.
No, well, it says eight-legged.
Micro animals.
Yes, segmented micro animals. They can be frozen up to extreme temperatures and still live.
Well, can't fish do that too? Because it happens in like ponds and stuff up north. Like when the ponds and lakes freeze, they'll come back to life once it melts.
Yeah, that's weird. But I was just trying to
fish
see.
Fish are weird. I don't.
Okay, last year in June 16th, it said scientists successfully revived animal frozen 30 years ago. Let me see what kind of animal this is. This also comes from the Independent of the UK. Oh, it's another water bear. Damn water bears.
I'm tired of these water bears.
It was another water bear that they froze and they brought back to life. I didn't even know we had such things as water bears.
Water bear.
I feel like I've heard about water bears in a,
really?
In a show.
This is the first time I've ever heard of water bears.
I feel like there's been like a running joke about water bears.
Huh.
Kind of a fun word to say.
All right, Charlie, we got some breaking news. Hit us with it. Breaking news from the NFL.
Dun, da, da, da. Dun, da, da.
We go to
dun,
Charlie.
Dun, 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 dun.
Charlie at the breaking news desk. Charlie Collier, we kick it to you.
The Chicago Bears have finalized their deal with prior defensive coordinator.
Dan Quinn.
No, Dan Quinn, actually.
He That's interviewed twice
separate,
for him.
Separate minor breaking news. Dan Quinn announced that he's staying with the Cowboys.
Oh!
But.
Okay.
Back to the actual breaking news. The Bears have finalized a deal with former Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus.
Eberflus. Okay.
Honestly, probably a really good hire. You want to see what he does with the staff around him because how he builds that offensive staff and the guys that will be developing Justin Fields is probably what decides his fate as a head coach. But he's arguably one of the better defensive coordinators in football. And he was one of the Colts' most valuable assets. So a win for Titans fans and maybe a win for Bears pending his offensive hires.
Okay. Okay, the Bears do not get Dan Quinn, but they get Matt Eberflus. With the news of, and I don't know much about Eberflus, for sure for Bears fans, hopefully he'll be a good hire. For me as a Packer fan, hopefully he fails. But with the news of Dan Quinn staying in Dallas, that has to be a setup for, like, he's been told by Jerry Jones, this guy's probably not going to work out. Stay here as the DC, and likely you'll be the coach in the future. I'm not saying those talks happened. We don't know anything like that. But I'm saying, wouldn't you think that? Like, because Dan Quinn was a very popular name this offseason. There are nine head coaching vacancies with now one filled or two now.
Two filled. Both in the last hour.
Yeah, in the last hour. So seven.
Look like they're closing in on one, too.
So either seven or six jobs left. Dan Quinn could have got any of those jobs.
I don't know. I think that maybe you know, maybe he's failed the interviews.
I guess.
Maybe they just decided that they didn't like him. I don't know. I don't really see like him being the next Cowboys head coach. Whenever Mike McCarthy gets fired, whenever Fat Jason Garrett gets the boot. You know, I feel like we can all kind of agree that he's going to get fired eventually. Whenever that does happen, I feel like...
Yeah, Fat Jason Garrett, yeah, he's going to get fired eventually.
I feel like it's going to be Sean Payton's job.
Okay, you know, we talked about that yesterday. He was a quarterback's coach there and passing game coordinator. I could see that too, but it's just, I don't know why Dan Quinn wouldn't go for another job, unless he's just not ready to coach right now. Because... I don't see how he doesn't get one of these six jobs or one of these seven jobs left.
I mean, he has some talent, and he plays in a bad division or coaches in a bad division. So, you know, he can replicate what they did this year, and then hit a new coaching cycle, and maybe he just finds an opportunity he likes more too. You know, the Bears, maybe they chose, you know, the Bears and the Broncos, I guess, both chose other guys over Dan Quinn. I don't really know.
Bears, Broncos. Also the Vikings and Giants.
Was there anywhere else that Dan Quinn had gotten really deep into interviews?
No. Well, he had interviewed for the Bears job twice.
Right. He had gotten deep into that, and then they just chose him.
He interviewed with the Broncos, which we said both of those jobs are now taken off the table. And he also interviewed with the Vikings and the Giants.
And I think that both of them are moving in different directions, so maybe it is just a case of the job did not come for him.
Yeah, maybe so. To me, he seems like a guy that could coach in Minnesota.
Probably. I don't know. I think Minnesota might want to change up things more, go with a riskier hire maybe. More breaking news.
Okay.
That just popped up on this Twitter feed on the station laptop. Bruce Pearl. Yeah.
I just saw this too.
This comes from On Three.
Emerging.
Yeah, they're coming up in the world. You're seeing them more. They apparently.
Is it a real thing? Please tell me it's a real thing.
Nothing official.
Please tell me. Please tell me he wants to go there. It says,
Louisville has reached out to the Bruce Pearl camp. The interest is real. The moment is now for Auburn's administration to fulfill Pearl's wish list. But yeah, it looks like Louisville and Pearl had a little rendezvous.
We talked about this yesterday. Would you guys leave Auburn? I think you guys said no.
What? No, I didn't answer this question.
Okay, well, all right, we'll go with you first. Would you leave Auburn? Because I'm wondering, is Auburn right now, because the SEC's gotten better over the years as a basketball conference, Auburn it seems like it's gotten better. It's the first time they reached the AP number one since the AP top 25 has been established, and that's because they have a good coach in Bruce Pearl. But Louisville basketball is Louisville basketball, and it once was one of the top-tier basketball programs in all of college basketball. It's very heralded, you know, Rick Pitino days. Before Rick Pitino, it was a big college basketball program. That's why Rick Pitino went there.
Louisville's number one in the country in revenue.
Yeah, they're number one in revenue. They're in the ACC, which is a traditional basketball powerhouse conference.
I think about it, I think I would leave Auburn.
If it were me, I probably would, just because in the SEC, you're going to have to compete with Kentucky, not in terms of, like, on the court, but in revenue share and like media rights, not media rights, but like Kentucky's going to get the primetime game as a 10th, 15th ranked team over a number one ranked Auburn team.
And you know, another thing too, when I look at it, I'm coming around on it now, I'm like, I do think it's a better job than Auburn, even though they're not where Auburn is in basketball right now. But they're not there because they don't have a coach like Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
You get Bruce Pearl there, Louisville basketball goes back to being Louisville basketball. And the one thing Pearl's probably thinking, which I would assume, this is me assuming from the outside, you go to Auburn, you go to Auburn. You go to Louisville for basketball, they're going all out for you. Mm-hmm. They roll out the red carpet. You get anything you want if you can restore this basketball program back to prominence. Anything. Anything that he wants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basketball.
No limitations for basketball at Louisville.
Yeah, they're like a Duke or a Wake Forest, North Carolina.
I think you should go. And that's for Tennessee fans, too. I think we would feel a lot. It'd be a lot better for us as Tennessee fans.
Louisville also would become my second favorite school.
In a sense, if he got out of the SEC, maybe like some of the fans that are still hanging on to the Bruce Pearl days and still in love and infatuated with him, that kind of goes away because he's in the ACC now and he's not in your conference anymore and you're not having to play him every year.
Yeah,
and
it wouldn't hurt near as bad.
And you're not having to see all the success he's having down on the plains in Auburn. So maybe that's better for Tennessee fans as their own mental going forward. I'm serious, and I'm serious about that. Like, it's a whole lot easier watching him do it in the ACC and doing it at Louisville where they're supposed to be a basketball powerhouse than seeing him do it at Auburn to where it's like, damn. They never were good at basketball, really. But here they got our old coach, and now we feel very slighted, and we're jealous of it.
Yeah.
It'd be much 100%. Better if he goes to ACC. So we'll continue to watch that. Charlie Stotus on three. Other outlets are reporting it has legs. There is real interest in Bruce Pearl taking this Louisville basketball job. And for the sake of everything Tennessee basketball, I sure hope so. 865-546-8200. Last call on the other side. One more segment from us, then we'll kick it over to Talk Sports and John Reed. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio.
Pass out. Frank. Wake up. Frank. Fade it. Frank. Fade it. Frank. Not in group anymore. I think she hates me deep down. I know she does. She wants to erase me.
Welcome back to the Blitz. Wrapping up the show today on your Thursday. Kicking over to Talk Sports from noon until 3. The Drive with Russell Smith, the Bear, and Jake the Snake. 3 to 6 in the afternoon. And then capping it off, overtime, nightcap. 6 to 8 with Will Stevens and Tucker Holt. Don't forget, we'll be out of walk-ons this Saturday, 8 o'clock tip-off for the Texas-Tennessee Volunteers basketball game as Rick Barnes makes his return to Austin. Big watch party there. Come out, hang out with us, eat some of the appetizers, get a shrimp po' boy, get you some beer, and don't forget to try the bread pudding on your way out. As we end the show today, as we always do, a little if you haven't heard on the way out, hit you with some headlines that we missed from today's show. Before we get out of here, something I didn't do yesterday, which I have done for the last 2 years, which I was very sad that I didn't do it yesterday. Yesterday was the second anniversary, and I say last 2 years, I did it at his death and did it in the one-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant and Gigi and the rest of the people on that plane involved in that helicopter crash. We celebrate Kobe Bryant, as always, remember him. Thoughts and prayers for his family. But, yeah, two-year anniversary. It's crazy that it's already been 2 years, man.
I still remember seeing the news. I couldn't believe it, man.
Yeah, me neither. The last couple of years we've done, I've played, like, on the anniversary, played, like, highlights for Kobe in and out of the breaks. I didn't get to do that yesterday, but I did want to make sure to talk about that today. And they put a statue of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna is erected at the crash site on the two-year anniversary. So they put up a statue of him and Gianna. It has Kobe in his 24 jersey and also her in her basketball jersey, like a bronze pewter-looking statue that's at the actual crash site. So that is very crazy. 8/24, 2 years since Kobe Bryant has left this world. He and his family. I mean, he and his daughter, along with the other people that were also on that helicopter crashed that day, part of that basketball team. So, celebration of life, 2 years ago, Mamba forever, we lost a legend. Heroes get remembered, but as the Sandlot told us, legends never die. All right, anybody got it if you haven't heard on the way out?
Yeah, I got just a quick one.
Go for it.
Some odds have come out on who the starting quarterback will be for the Steelers next year.
Mm.
Mason Rudolph leads the way with even money.
Okay.
So plus 100 that he'll be the starter. Some sort of trade or free agent at plus 300. Dwayne Haskins at plus 500. And then a draft pick at plus 1,000. And I think that's pretty good money on a draft pick.
That's pretty good. Yeah. At plus 1,000, yeah. I would say they go looking in the draft myself. Anybody else? Charlie, you got it if you haven't heard?
I feel like I did, but I don't know where it went.
You lost it, huh? Well, since you don't have one, I'll go ahead and hit you with the calendar days earlier today. Today is National Chocolate Cake Day. You guys like chocolate cake?
No.
As long as it's milk chocolate.
I was going to say, like, I feel like chocolate cake is one of the most overrated things.
I don't really like chocolate. So, like,
you told us that.
I don't like chocolate ice cream, chocolate milk.
I love chocolate, but I feel like just plain chocolate cake is overrated. Like, no, Charlie said, it has to be milk chocolate, or it has to be like some kind of ganache center, like some type of center in the chocolate cake, some molten lava type of chocolate cake. But chocolate cake is just boring.
If it ain't milk chocolate, I don't want it.
I like white chocolate.
Me too. It's also National Cowboy Poetry Gathering Week, which is very funny to me.
Wait, Cowboy Poetry?
National Cowboy Poetry Gathering Week.
I need to find Cowboy Poetry. Yeah,
they have
right
their
now.
Meeting in AT&T Stadium.
They have to. I'm with you. I am now searching for National.
I found one.
Did you? Is it a good one? It's a week of poetry, music, dancing, workshops, exhibits, conversations, food, and fellowship rooted in tradition but focused on today's rural West.
This one is titled One More Day.
Please.
Even with our progress, some things stay the same.
Is this Lone Star?
Cattle still need Brandon. There are horses yet to tame. Ooh. Cowboys will always ride. They'll head, heel, and haze, making lasting memories. These are there. Good old days, as the lonesome sun is setting on our last sky of blue.
Oh my God, they actually have like,
we'll think like, you can back on this. Good times.
It's cowboys in hats and cowboy gear reading poetry.
That's what it is. And friends who helped make dreams come true. The only favor I would ask before I'm called away is let me be a cowboy again. For one more day.
Yes, brother. Yes, brother. Yes. Yes.
You brought a tear to my eye.
Why do you live out here, they asked.
This is amazing.
As they entered our gravel drive. Don't you like civilization? Don't you want to feel alive? I told them I live in a mountain flower, in a million blades of grass, in a stately pine or a twisted fir, high on a windy pass. In a winding stream or a quiet lake, close by a mountain high, whose timbered slopes and steep sheer cliffs seem to pierce the very sky. I live in the heart of an honest horse as he plods his weary way, over rocky trails neath heaven loads from dawn till the close of day. In the rhythmic bob of heavy packs, as look back over the stream, we make our way to our mountain cap. From far from cars and towns and such things. I live in a rambling country house that my dear ones all call home. In its quiet walls, by its cheery hearth, many happy hours we've known. It's true, I care not for the city with its hustle, bustle, and strife. I'll live out here and feel close to God, happy in this way of life.